The Dollar Drain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. So today, the dollar fell to its lowest rate against the yen for the first time in 3 years. And for a time, it hit a record low against the euro. All this has the chief executive of Airbus worried, since he sells his planes for dollars, but his company's expenses are in euros. In a speech on Thursday, he said the dollar's dip was life-threatening for Airbus and beyond the pain barrier. Other Airbus employees deny the weak dollar is threatening the company's survival. The race for prime minister in Australia is reaching a fevered pitch. Voters there go to the polls tomorrow, but investors are more focused on what's happening in the U.S. Eleanor Bell reports.
John Howard has been Australia's Prime Minister since 1996. He's presided over a booming economy, given high demand for natural resources from China and India. Even with the economy in his favour, polls indicate Howard could face defeat in this weekend's national elections. But the expected change in government has not upset the Australian stock market. This is ANZ Bank Chief Economist Saul Eslake.
Markets focus has very much been on the same developments that markets in other parts of the world are looking at. That is the subprime mortgage market crisis, the write-downs of losses by banks, and the impact of all of this on Federal Reserve policy and the outlook for the US economy.
The US credit crunch could severely impact Australia's key trade partners. Asian countries account for 7 of Australia's 10 largest export markets. In Sydney, Australia, I'm Eleanor Bell for Marketplace.
For the kid who literally has everything, here's something he really needs. Lenora Chu explains.
When Riley's mom dropped him off at the Hotel Bel Air last Saturday, he was fidgeting with his tie. 4 hours later, he moved smoothly from his cocktail fork to his champagne flute.
I would like to toast to Miss Steele for teaching us about politeness and different cultures and making this manners class so fun for us.
In this classroom, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. Diane Deal and Lisa Gachet run the etiquette school Beverly Hills Manners. They teach kids as young as 5 everything from how to write a thank you note to the difference between a fish knife and a butter knife. And according to Gachet, the holiday season is their busiest time of year.
Parents, you know, almost like to put their children on display, and they like to sort of, when they go to a party, show their friends and family how well-mannered their children are.
First topic in class, receiving a gift. Gachet tells the kids it's okay to tell a little white lie when they get a present they hate.
The ultimate goal we want to tell them is to make grandma feel, you know, like she did the best thing, you know, she did the best job, she got you exactly what she wanted by saying thank you.
Greetings are also important. Gachet teaches the kids to accept Aunt Martha's sloppy wet kisses with a smile, always get up to welcome their parents' friends, and whether dad's in the shower or overseas on business, if the phone rings, he's simply unavailable. Mateo and Scotty pair up to practice.
Hello.
I'm calling for your father.
And what would he say first before that? He needs to identify who he is, okay?
Mateo.
My father is unavailable. May I please take him a message?
Okay.
And every session ends with a 5-course meal. Edibles and etiquette for $125. In Beverly Hills, that's a bargain. From Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
This weekend, more than 3,000 people will be in Durban, South Africa to witness the preliminary draw for the next Men's Soccer World Cup. This lottery is a big deal in the global sports world. It determines who plays who in qualifying matches over the next 2 years. And Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg, there's money to be made.
Sunday's draw for qualifying groups will be broadcast live to 144 countries. Nail-chewing fans will watch to see if their country's team will meet stiff competition in a so-called group of death. The world's media industry will watch, too, because a lot of money's at stake, Globally, TV networks will spend more than $2 billion on broadcast rights for this World Cup. And Sunday's draw gives networks an idea of how much they can demand from advertisers in specific games. It will also give national broadcasters an idea of the calendar their national team will face in the qualifying phase, and whether they have a good chance to make it to South Africa in 2010. That's when ad dollars multiply. Not surprising, during the final phase of last year's Men's World Cup in Germany, each match had a cumulative average of 260 million viewers. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
It's a make or break day for a lot of retailers. Some open their doors as early as midnight to encourage you to part with your cash or your plastic. The National Retail Federation is predicting slower sales growth this year, and Marketplace's Amy Scott says electronics retailers are particularly worried.
Shares in Circuit City, Radio Shack, and Sony have all taken a beating this fall. Best Buy's had its ups and downs. Rick Weinhardt tracks consumer electronics for BMO Capital Markets. He says high gas prices, the housing recession, and low consumer morale don't bode well for holiday gadget sales.
There's a lot of reasons to think that consumers, again, will pull back the reins as much as possible.
Then there's the lack of a big must-have hit this year. Nintendo's Wii game console is pretty hot, but the company is warning of shortages. Analyst Chris Crotty with iSupply heard the same doom and gloom this time last year. He says people still went shopping.
They wound up spending their money on lower-ticket consumer electronics like digital cameras and MP3 players. So we might see more of that again this year.
BMO's Rick Weinhardt says we might see something else that happened last year. Profit margins shrank as retailers slashed prices just to get shoppers in the door. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Of course, there are those who are refusing to go anywhere near a store today, not just to avoid the mobs, but to make the point that the holiday season doesn't have to be about spending money. The icon of this Buy Nothing Day is a self-styled preacher named Reverend Billy. There's a new movie about his Church of Stop Shopping in theaters now. He recently came to our studios with his wife, Savitri.
Well, I think that the Christmas advertising, you know, it sort of escalates up to that point. There's all these families that there they are on Friday, nothing to do. They're all in a different town. People are a little dislocated, a whole day off, getting ready for Christmas. They know this might be the last day off they have before Christmas. So they think, oh, I'll get all my Christmas shopping done now, or I'll start the process. Of course, the advertisers and the corporations saw that. They started to take advantage of that, and they started pushing it as the day to shop. So Black Friday, it's called Black Friday, obviously, because the retailers go into the black on that day, classically.
And we call it Buy Nothing Day.
We call it Buy Nothing Day. That's our holy
Buy
day.
Buy Nothing Alleluia.
What can be done about it, or what are you hoping to do about it?
We joke about the intensity of the addiction that Americans feel towards shopping, that it's actually become a psychological necessity, that happiness is organized around shopping, that caring for your children is something that you do in partnership with these multinational corporations who advise you on what happiness is for your kids and so forth. And that is very upsetting, and we feel that must change. On the other hand, we feel it is changing. We feel there's a wave across this culture right now. Many people are pulling back from the advertising advice that they're getting around Christmas time.
There's a very basic impulse right now to reclaim private space, family space, community space, to be in communication with people who are closer to you within a slightly smaller sphere.
But it is an interesting point to make on a show like this, Marketplace. I'm sure the argument you hear a lot is, well, if people didn't shop, what would happen? People need to shop because it's the backbone of the economy.
If we support local economies, ma and pa stores, Craigslist, things we can do in the neighborhood where I might be able to see the person I'm dealing with, you know, not to be a Luddite, not to reject technology entirely, but getting back to the human scale of giving and taking, that's an economy too.
Reverend Billy and his wife Savitri are profiled in the new documentary, What Would Jesus Buy? In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.